Welcome back to Hertz Ag Talk. I'm your host, Troy Kazire, with Hertz Farm Management in Geneseo, Illinois. And today I've got Kelly Estes with me. She is the State Survey Coordinator with the University of Illinois. How are you doing today, Kelly?
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time to visit with us today. To start off with, why don't you tell us a little bit about your role there at the university and maybe a little bit about your background and kind of what your responsibilities are.
Yeah, sure. I am the State Survey Coordinator here at the Illinois Natural History Survey on the campus of the University of Illinois here in Champaign. I've been in this role since about 2007 now. Holy cow, that's been a long time. Prior to that, I was with University of Illinois Extension in the Department of Crop Sciences. I have a background in crop sciences and entomology. I received my master's degree here on campus, focusing on integrated pest management. And that's something that's been in my life for as long as I can remember. I grew up actually pretty close to Geneseo. I grew up in Morrison, Illinois, up in Whiteside County, on a farm with my parents and two sisters. And farming has always been a big part of our lives. And we raised cattle. And, you know, I knew from a young age that I wanted to do something in the ag industry. And with the job I have now, I think I have like one of the best jobs out there. I get to look at the different crops around the state, work with farmers and producers and growers, and really focus on the different pests that are coming into the state, as well as the, we'll call them the endemic pests that we deal with on a yearly basis. And, you know, my role here on campus, I have multiple roles, I guess. My primary position, I work with the Illinois Department of Agriculture and USDA APHIS PPQ. And I coordinate invasive species surveys around the state. I work with them, and we have a committee of different professionals from around the state from lots of different areas. And we look at the different pests that are a potential threat to Illinois from surrounding areas, or even USDA does a lot of research looking at pests that can be brought into the U.S., and we focus on different commodities and do surveys in those. So we're doing corn and soybeans, orchards, vineyards, natural areas, and then also what we consider pathways and how they're introduced. And then on the flip side, I get to go back to where I started, and I do a lot of corn and soybean survey work, looking at different pests that are within the state from north to south, east to west, doing surveys, trapping, and taking that information and kind of going back to my extension roots and providing outreach and information to producers around the state.
Very good. So that's one of the things we wanted to talk about today was your work with invasive species. Why don't you expand a little bit more on that and kind of what is your focus here in the Midwest with regard to invasive species?
Yeah, you know, this is something that I guess not a lot of people realize that's going on. We're always looking at the different pests that could be introduced to Illinois or even through natural distribution or dissemination as they move across the U.S., gradual movement. So we look at lots of different areas. Like I mentioned before, we, you know, corn and soybeans is huge in Illinois. Obviously, we do surveys in those, but we also look in orchards, vineyards. We do surveys in state parks looking at bark beetles or wood borers that are a threat to not only natural areas, but those type of things that you could find in your backyard. You think like emerald ash borer was a huge pest that was introduced in 2007 and has gradually made its way through the state. So our role is essentially first detection. We know there's these pests out there, and we want to survey for them to, one, know if they're here or not. And two, if they are here, to find them early enough where we might be able to potentially eradicate it or minimize their spread. And so these surveys change year to year based on current threat levels of different insect pests or diseases, I should say, too. Currently, we do a huge field crop survey. So we're looking at corn and soybeans around the state. And a survey for that looks like insect traps placed near corn and soybean fields. We look at things, and these are going to be pests that most of your listeners will have never heard of. Old world bollworm, which is similar in appearance to corn earworm. Golden twin spot moth, which is also very similar to some of the noctuid moths that we have here in Illinois. And silver wide moth, which is very similar in appearance to like the loopers or potentially even maybe fall army worm, if you think about that way. And what we know about these different moths is that, you know, we're surveying for them in corn and soybeans, but take old world bollworm, for instance. It has over 250 host plants. So while we consider it a threat and would feed in corn and soybeans, it also will feed in tomatoes and a lot of other vegetable crops too. So it crosses a lot of our crops or things like that here in Illinois. We also do then sweep surveys looking for different pests that might be in soybeans, along with taking an interest in what are our regular pests that we normally see in Illinois as well.
So with a lot of these invasive species, there's it's pretty limited with regard to the natural predators in the area, right?
For the most part, yes. And I think we don't actually know a lot about the invasive species when we find them here. We don't know how they're going to act or behave, and we don't necessarily know if there's any natural predators that we have here that are going to be beneficial in keeping them in check. For instance, we have an orchard survey going on right now looking at different pests of apples and peaches. And included in that is spotted lanternfly, which is found widely out east. And it's been there for several years. It's slowly moving its way towards Illinois. It was most recently found in Indiana last year. And one of the things that is currently being worked on, in addition to survey methods, trapping methods, management methods, you know, in addition to potential chemical control, is looking at biological control. Is there anything here that keeps it in check? And a lot of times, you know, there's a great group of researchers within USDA that are looking at these pests back in their countries of origin, you know, what's keeping them in check there. Do we have that here? Is there something similar to that here? And, you know, it's a long process, and sometimes we are able to identify.
So talk a little bit more about spotted lanternfly. I'm not familiar with that pest. How does it damage? Sounds like it infects orchards. What kind of damage does it do?
So it's a plant hopper. People that might be listening to your podcast from an ag perspective, you think about potato leaf hoppers. You know, they have piercing, sucking mouth parts. They feed on alfalfa by piercing the plant. Spotted lanternfly acts very similar to that. They also have the piercing, sucking mouth parts. They're not necessarily feeding on the actual apples and peaches, though, interestingly enough. And so it's overall plant health comes into play. So it differs from something like stink bugs in apples. You see injury directly on the fruit and it becomes unmarketable. spotted lanternfly feeds on the vines of grapes, the stems in of apples, of peaches, and it affects the overall plant health and vigor, and that will affect things over time. The other thing that we're finding with spotted lanternfly is that, in addition to, we'll say, direct impact on commodities, is that it's also potential to play an impact on quality of life. And that's kind of sounds drastic. I'm not sure if I'm wording it the correct way, but think about aphids. Aphids emit honeydew, and then with that honeydew, you get city mold, and spotted lanternfly does the same thing. And so, you know, we're seeing out east where there's hundreds of thousands of spotted lanternflies in areas covering, we'll say, park benches, steps, decks, you know, things like that. Then that becomes covered in the honeydew and sooty mold, and it's sticky and it's gross. And so you end up with that as an impact of this potential invasive as well.
I assume there probably can be vectors for plant diseases and things as well.
That is one thing that they are looking at. And we do know a lot of insect pests that, you know, anytime they're inserting their mouth parts into a plant that have that potential to carry or vector disease. And so, you know, never say never. It is definitely a possibility. It's not something we know right now.
Sure, sure. So now what about, I know for, and it's been, it seems like it's been a couple of years since I've heard anything, but for quite a while, the big deal was murder hornets in the U.S. And I believe, if I remember right, up in the Pacific Northwest is kind of where they had entered. Was kind of a big deal and seemed to be a pretty big concern for entomologists. Have not heard anything about those lately. What's the latest on that?
So that is the Asian giant hornet. And I think actually that may have gotten another name as well. It is still out there. They're still monitoring. They're still tracking. There's a Facebook page I follow to try to stay up on things like that. We haven't had any reports or findings here in Illinois. It is something we continue to do receive reports about. We've received two here in the last week. When I say we, I throw out that we a lot. Myself and then Scott Shermer at the Illinois Department of Ag, and then also some of our USDA counterparts often receive questions, emails, phone calls with potential reportings. And so we collectively look over photos, decide stuff, get information back to people. But, you know, it's something that when we first heard about, you know, obviously we take things very seriously and we start looking at could this potential pest, one, be here? And two, if it does arrive, could it survive here? And the great thing about USDA is it's called a Center for Plant Health, Science and Technology, and they have a group of people that are constantly researching these things, and they come back to us with biological information. They come back to us with potential distribution maps based on temperature, on host ranges, all sorts of stuff.
Interesting. What, anything else? Invasive species standpoint that you guys have kind of got your radar on here in the Midwest?
Right now, spotted lanternfly continues to be a big one, only because of the recent find in Indiana, and it's readily moved by people. It lays eggs on pretty much anything, which means that they're very easily transported unintentionally. So that continues to be a big one. There's been some recent finds of plant material that has moved out of Canada. It's called a box tree moth that we're keeping an eye on. Nothing that here in Illinois, but it has been found in, I believe, New York is the closest one. But box tree is a nursery plant here, or a landscape plant that's very widely used. So we continue to keep an eye on things like that. And then from a field crop perspective, Old World bollworm is a huge survey for us. We have, I think, over 100 traps placed here in the state of Illinois, keeping an eye on that. Just because of its potential impact, not only in field crops, but its widespread host range. It's found in South America, has known pyrethroid resistance down there. So that just continues to be on our radar as well.
Sure. Well, we'll have to, I'm going to have to get on Google now and look up the spotted lanternfly and keep my eyes peeled and see what happens here. So let's kind of move into some of the more common field crop pests that we deal with. You know, most corn fields in the state are pretty much in full tassel now, or getting pretty close to it. So, you know, would expect that this is the time of the year that we're going to start seeing corn earworm flights. Those are kind of related a lot of times to the, you know, weather patterns, storm systems coming up from the Gulf. What are you hearing about corn earworm right now?
So we have several traps placed around the state monitoring for corn earworm, fall armyworm, even European corn borer, even though we don't see that very much. One of our big grants is through USDA. It's a NIFA grant that funds trapping in the spring with black cutworm and true armyworm. And then in the spring, we transfer that over to earworm and fall armyworm and corn borer. And those corn earworm flights have been pretty low, enough that people have asked, the cooperators are concerned, because is everybody else seeing this? You know, we're not catching anything. And those are just now starting to pick up. So I do expect some of that to pick up here in the next couple of weeks. Corn borer flights have been non-existent, which isn't too shocking. You know, we haven't had huge corn borer numbers in many, many years. Although we can, and I shouldn't say although, we continue to trap for it, because we still do get reports of pockets of corn borer infestations, particularly in non-GMO corn. And, you know, there are growers that are focusing on that. And if you do have that non-traded corn, I would be sure to scout it for corn borer, because despite our best efforts of trapping and trying to stay on top of it, they do show up unexpectedly and in places like that. Also, late planted sweet corn tends to be a huge attractant to not only corn earworm, but also corn borer as well.
Yeah, and that's we actually have a pocket not too far from here where there's some organic and non-GMO corn, and had a field that was pretty well hammered by corn borer last year. Be interesting to see what the populations are this year. And like you said, it's been with BT corn being so popular for so many years, it's kind of interesting that there's a fair number of, you know, seed salesmen and folks in the business that don't even know what it is or haven't seen it, and think it's a stock quality issue or something else, because they just have not ever experienced corn borer and, you know, in the last 20 years.
And that's exactly it. And, you know, we, in addition to trapping, we used to do the fall corn borer survey, which kind of mimicked our summer survey, but later in the season, where we covered counties statewide, checking for incidents of feeding, cutting stalks, looking for evidence of corn borer. And it's just hard to find and not out there.
So what about corn rootworm? You know, a lot of times we rely on heavy rains in June to you know, help control some of that larva population as they hatch. That didn't happen for the most part this year. So I would suspect that the corn rootworm hatch had a pretty good survival rate. What are you hearing about feeding in the Midwest?
I think that's a true statement. Luckily for us, in many areas of the state, the populations were probably pretty low. So, but you did have survival of low populations. I've seen a few reports of rootworm beetles out there. You know, we've been doing our field crop surveys, and with our trapping, we also do sweeps in soybeans, and we've picked up a few here and there. And we're covering the entire state right now with different surveys, but our big survey, the big statewide survey, starts next Monday, and I think that's where we're going to get our best information on what's out there. And so we'll in the next 2 weeks survey 45 to 50 of the county statewide. We do five counties or five fields in each of those counties, sorry, and then at each one of those stops we do 100 sweeps in soybeans on the exterior, 100 sweeps on the interior of soybean field, go across the road or next to it to the corn, and we'll do rootworm counts within the corn as well. And I guess we'll also be doing a survey within the soybean field for soybean gall midge, which is a new pest out west, but not known to be here in Illinois either.
I was going to say, we have not had no reports yet of soybean gall midge in Illinois.
None. And we've been doing, we have a great research project with the Illinois Soybean Association looking at that. So we've had interns out driving through the state surveying soybean fields, and no findings through our survey of soybean gall midge either. I know there had been some rumors of somebody finding it in Illinois, but the pictures that I was sent aren't, that's not it. So I would suggest if anybody thinks they have it to please get in contact with us so that we can either confirm or properly identify what's going on.
All right. Kind of the last one I had on my list anyway was spider mites. And I know there was concern there for a while, as hot and dry as it's been. That's, you know, that's really ideal conditions for spider mites. Now with the rains that have been moving through the Midwest, are we still as concerned about spider mites, or are you hearing any reports of populations feeding on or causing damage?
That was something on our radar here 2-3 weeks ago as well. I was like, wow, prepping for a big spider mite outbreak. And nothing. I've not had a single one. And so the rains hopefully have been timely enough to knock back that threat. In general, though, I think we generally see a lot of spider mite reports later in the season, right about the time where, you know, you hit August, September, and grasshoppers are also a huge problem with that late season feeding coming in as well. You know, we just looked at the drought monitor this morning. Joe Spencer's down the hall from me, and we were chatting, you know, I forget what percentage of the state is still considered in drought. It's high. Yep. And so, you know, these rains have really helped with surface moisture, but, you know, it's still ultimately dry for the year. And I think given some of the long-term forecasts I've seen, that with potential for dryness, I think spider mites still could be an issue. I think it's something we'll just have to monitor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed that the spigot keeps flowing.
We're gonna
need it, that's for sure. So, anything else on your mind that we haven't covered, Kelly, that you're seeing happening right now?
I'm just now starting to see planes and copters in the fields here in East Central Illinois. I've heard that it's been rolling out in the western part of the state for the last week or two. Japanese beetles have been hit or miss for us. Yeah. Not many here in East Central Illinois, but, you know, out in the western part of the state, down towards Madison and Macoupin, we've picked up quite a few. So that is one thing that I'm always interested in looking at, in addition to the rootworm numbers here with a statewide survey. You know, where are those pockets of Japanese beetles, and rootworm beetles. So hopefully here in the next coming weeks, we'll have some great preliminary information on insect pressures across the state.
All right. Very good. Well, again, Kelly, I appreciate the time and the insight. A lot of good information shared with us today.
I enjoy it.
Kelly Estes, State Survey Coordinator with the University of Illinois. Appreciate you taking your time to visit with us. And thanks to everybody for listening. And we will see you next time on the next episode of Hertz Ag Talk. Thank you.